Welcome to the 143rd episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome. Welcome to the holiday season. It's a week from Christmas. We had graduation from my nutrition class levels 2 and 3 this week, and nutrition class graduation usually is a night to troubleshoot and do a little celebrating. We usually have desserts, and this week we did a plant-based key lime pie made with a combination of avocado, tofu, and lime juice, and a crust that contained buckwheat groats and some cashews and some unsweetened coconut. And we did Dr. Esselstyn or Ann Esselstyn's kale cake with a little twist. We did it in a cupcake style, and I did a twist of my own on the blueberry icing. I made the icing out of white beans and blueberries with a little maple syrup, so that turned out really nice, and everybody enjoyed it. And we talk about holiday traditions. A lot of people are going to parties or having and hosting celebrations, and you have your traditional foods that you have during the holiday seasons. And I always tell the story that when we went plant-based and I decided to host a completely plant-based Christmas, my mother was very upset. She thought that nobody would, everybody would be upset with the food because we were taking away all those things like, you know, ham and turkey and shrimp, and nobody would want to come back. But the reality of it is, everybody really gathers around to be with people. That's what the holidays are for. And we had a lot of good plant-based food. So we talked about, our plant-based versions of what we used to have, and we in class, and we talked about, if you're traveling and you're going to someone else's house, what do you take? How do you approach it? If you're traveling, how do you approach it? Because the holiday season can really be a time when people fall off the so-called wagon. So one of the things we always did is have a big pumpernickel loaf with spinach dip. And we've made the spinach dip plant-based, and spinach. And typically, people used to use that Knorr's vegetable soup and put it with sour cream and mayonnaise. Well, we just do silken tofu and a little soy yogurt and then add real spinach and diced carrots and water chestnuts. And it makes a really, really good dip. A lot of times the pumpkin loaves that you buy, though, have an egg wash on them. So today I decided to experiment and bring to class a pumpernickel loaf of my own. So I looked up a pumpernickel loaf, and it actually worked out really well. It was just rye flour and whole wheat flour and maple syrup. And I, if you haven't ever checked out the no-knead method for baking bread, I'd encourage you to. You use a Dutch oven, and so you put the bread dough in there and you bake it, and it gets real crusty on the outside and soft on the inside. And so we had pumpernickel loaf that turned out really good. And so that's one thing we'll do as far as making, the spinach dip and doing that. We also talked about, it's nice to have a colorful table. If you look on the internet, you'll see a lot of people do veggie trays that are shaped like Christmas trees or snowman. And you can get quite creative. We did a wreath one year with broccoli and tomatoes. So we usually have a veggie tray on our table. We also do some roasted red peppers. I was recently in Sacramento and we had sushi that had roasted red peppers on the outside. And typically we get a sushi tray for the holidays. And I think I'm going to add some red peppers to the sushi. Usually our vegan sushi has carrot, cucumber, and avocado. So we'll add a little bit of spiced red pepper to some of those. I think that'll make the table good. We do a green bean chickpea salad. That's a cold green beans in a balsamic vinegar. We also do a tomato, basil, and onion dish with balsamic vinegar. A quinoa dish with cranberries. And we put a cranberry salad on the table. And my mother likes to spike the cranberries with a little amaretto to make it festive for the holidays. So you can decide to do that whether you choose. We also do stuffed mushrooms with a combination. Sometimes I'll do a bit of a plant-based pesto with pine nuts and basil and some nutritional yeast. Stuffed potatoes. So we'll take like deviled potatoes. We'll cook some small baby potatoes and take out the center and fill that with a hummus mustard base sauce. So that's a good appetizer. A lot of times people have a lot of crackers around that can be very high in fat and salt. And so I encourage people to do a bread. So, you know, make a homemade bread and use that for whether to, you know, have some sort of a pesto to put on that or, you know, make a veggie sandwich rather than crackers. And we always have a hummus dip around. The table's very colorful and there's plenty to eat. When I was growing up, my grandmother would make cookies for months on end and put them in a cold storage area so that she could pull them out when everybody came to visit. And I still like the cookie tradition to have as well on my table, but I've changed it a little bit. And now I do cookies without oil. If you've ever made cookies, they're really terrible. They're traditional cookies or a stick of butter and eggs and all kinds of different oils and sugar. But there are a lot of cookies that you can make, again, using black beans or chickpeas and some cacao powder and maple syrup for a sweetener. You can use flax egg as in place of eggs and bananas as a thickener or applesauce. So there's tons of recipes out there if you just, Google vegan baking, vegan cookies, and then just omit the oil or do the substitutes like we talked above. So you can have your sweet treats. For the holidays, make sure you give plenty away so you're not left with them. So when the holidays are over, you're kind of done. But you know that's a good way around it. And if you're traveling, you know, make sure you pack yourself a lot of fruit and vegetables to take with you. And even perhaps those kale cupcakes, they certainly would travel well. I wouldn't put the icing on them; they're just good by themselves. So you know, consider doing something like that to get to where you're going. And make sure we talked about making sure that you get your greens in. You want to get those nitric oxide producing greens in every day, despite whether it's holidays or not. So have that big salad and make sure you're having some sort of greens. If there's a veggie tray, hit it hard so that you're getting your green servings before you get into the other things, because you don't want to be low on your nutrients. It's a good time of the year to hit the fruit. Pomegranates are in season, citrus is in season down here in Florida, so make sure you get plenty of fruit during the holidays. Cranberries, again, they're can be on the table. I really like cranberries in my oatmeal. I had some kasha today, which is basically a toasted buckwheat groats with cranberries and persimmons. That's always a good dish. So again, make sure you're getting your omega-3s with the greens and the flaxseed into things. Make sure you're getting your fruit and you can have a happy holiday season. And don't forget to get your exercise in. You know, the holidays can be a rough and stressful time. And part of it is because we get out of our routines or we try to add a bunch of other things into our routines. And there's nothing like some exercise to help get through some of the stressful situations. So make time before you get into whatever hustle bustle to get your exercise. I like listening to the Forward podcast with Lance Armstrong, and he had a distinguished guest recently that was a Congressional Medal of Honor winner. And they talked about, you know, the exercising being part of helping to heal, whether it's anxiety or depression or even post-traumatic stress or just the holiday blues. But to getting out and exercise and really, you know, getting your heart rate up and going for a little bit of a distance run or walk or a workout can really help your mindset and kind of calm you down for the holidays. Sometimes a lot of family in or close quarters, it can be difficult. Or maybe there's not family in and it's difficult. Called as well, a run can kind of help you get through that, or some sort of exercise. We're also in a cold and flu season, and so it's again important to work on keeping your immunity, and keep your immune system up to snuff. So if you're losing sleep because you're up wrapping presents or out shopping or stressed, it's a good time to get sick. I look to fruit in the morning to kind of bolster my immunity, add some lemon to a morning smoothie, as well as turmeric and ginger. Get your citrus in. It's a lot of vitamin C. It's a good way to help. Again, garlic and onions to dishes can help early boost you through the holiday season. If you do start to get a cold, there was a study in Japan where they had Japanese children gargle with salt water. And really decrease their incidence of colds during the cold and flu season. So if I feel something coming on, I'll gargle some salt water. One thing you don't want to do if you're starting to get sick, the Vicks rub and some of these mentholated Vaselines, people stick them up their nose. And there have been some incidents of, when you stick these oils up and they warm up, with your body temperature, people can actually aspirate these and get pneumonia. So don't stick oils up your nose of any kind to try to relieve your stuffiness. Again, stick with things like salt water that when you gargle that cleans things out, but it's dry and there's no side effects. A couple things have happened this week that were bad things that may turn out to have some good side effects to them. And one was a report today by our local news where three men were arrested for abusing dairy cow. And this was a big dairy operation that supplied a lot of milk to all our local grocery stores here in Florida. And it was appalling what these men did to the animals. I don't know what possessed them to have such hate in their heart. Perhaps working conditions. I don't know. I don't have any excuse for their behavior. But I did share it on Facebook, and it got a tremendous reaction because nobody wants to see any living creature hurt, and it's only when we ignore it or don't really. We put it out of the back of our mind. When people think about dairy, a lot of times they don't think about dairy cows being injured or tortured. And really, they have some of the worst lives of any of our cattle because their one job is just to be repeatedly impregnated and produce milk. And, they're sick, they're infected. And when they no longer produce milk, then they're just slaughtered and they're treated horribly. And it's a really sad thing. Their calves are taken away from them because obviously they need to be pregnant to be able to produce milk. And, there are all kinds of videos showing the cows. They know their children are being taken away from them and they cry and the calves cry. And it's awful. But we put that out of the picture and we just see milk and we see dairy or we see yogurt or we see ice cream. And the reality of it is, as most of you know, we do not need the fluid, the growth fluid, as Dr. Clapper says, of another animal to sustain us. And the whole practice is something that's not needed. And certainly when it goes down a road like this, it's just horrid. But the reaction on Facebook where people actually started to think, it's like, well, maybe I don't need milk or this is horrible. And, that part is really good because it starts waking people up to what they're eating. We have, if you want to eat ice cream, you can find dairy ice cream, dairy yogurt, non-dairy yogurt, non-dairy ice cream. I'm sorry. There's no reason for us to have dairy in any way, almond milk for your lattes. Certainly cooking, you don't need, there's no reason for cows. There's absolutely not one reason on earth to need cow's milk. And in quite the contrary, it is, one of the biggest sources of disease that we face as humans, mainly because we're just not supposed to drink the stuff. But the casein protein is very inflammatory. It's carcinogenic. Autoimmune diseases, diabetes in children, juvenile diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis. It just goes on and on. It's actually a poison fluid, not a health fluid. And, I hope that by these people being so cruel and, this being coming front and center in people's face so that they realize that this is just a terrible, terrible industry. And we need to stop it because there's no reason to subject the animals to this. There's no reason to subject humans to the milk of another animal. And perhaps these people can be rehabilitated and given jobs that they can, you know, do something worthwhile, perhaps grow vegetables. For now, hopefully they'll be growing vegetables in a prison, maybe help feed other prisoners. But, you know, this time of the year when it's supposed to be so peaceful, you know, it's a shame. But if that brings some light to it, then great. The other thing that happened was in our own cardiac catheterization laboratory, one of the technicians actually needed emergency bypass. And, you know, here it is. If day in and day out, cath lab workers see coronary artery disease, see acute myocardial infarctions, yet they don't do anything to change, we're doing a horrible disservice as far as hospitals go. And, you know, in this cath lab, I've posted pictures again on social media where drug companies and device companies bring in donuts and everybody laughs and tee-hees in the break room, eating donuts, eating candy. And, you know, this person had been the subject of, you know, he ate candy all the time and Coca-Colas and, you know, talked about not liking a vegetable, but nobody ever thinks it can happen to them. And, you know, I had spoken with them several times, you know, as far as, you know, we need to change your diet. And, you know, I actually get made fun of in the cath lab for the way I eat. And, you know, because there's nobody else in the area that, you know, cares anything about their nutrition. And I watch, you know, I watch over the years as cath lab staff comes and goes and they gain weight and they become more and more unhealthy and develop health problems. But this, you know, the fact that the guy came to the hospital with to work and he had chest pain and he went and had a bypass. I mean, it really should be a wake up call to the hospital that something desperately has to change. It really needs to start in the cath lab, and they need to be the pillars. You know, I don't know if it's January or February, there's an American Heart Association walk where the hospital gives out T-shirts and people go on a walk. People are eating donuts and bad food, but they're walking and they're supporting the American Heart Association, and they're given ice cream socials if they raise the most money. And it's like, for what? You know, it needs to start in the catheterization laboratory. They need to be the pillars of the lighthouse of what you need to do to change yourself. So when people come in, they can be pillars of health for the patients that come in and start to educate them right then and there, not be part of the problem. You know, and so I hope that the hospital will heed, but, you know, it's seen more of like, I can't believe it happened, or, you know, it happened to him because he ate worse than I did, or he shouldn't do that, but I can do that because it won't affect me. It's a real shame, but I really do hope that, you know, it becomes a wake up for everybody around him that, hey, you know, we need to stop. You know, I think the gentleman was in his 50s. So, I mean, it is appalling the fact that a healthcare worker in their 50s has heart disease. But he's not the only one. You know, he's by far not alone. And it's a shame. On a brighter note, we continue to have success in the office. It surprises me how much and how quick we can reverse diabetes. You know, we meet with people in the office and do a comprehensive physical and assess where they are as far as their diabetes or hypertension, and we make a plan. And in the case of diabetes, you know, we start by talking and educating our patients about the mechanism of diabetes. It's a fat problem. It's a fat you wear and the fat that you eat. And we go over a detailed game plan for them, and they call me with their weights and their blood glucoses, and we use what they eat as a learning experience. So we look for the fat in their diet that they may not have known that they're consuming, and, you know, little by little, their glucoses start to come down. We start to get them off the metformin very quickly because there's so many side effects with the medications. And, you know, it's in a matter of a few months that we have people off their medications, and we're seeing some dramatic decreases in hemoglobin A1Cs. So if you are out there and you have diabetes, you do not need to have diabetes. It will go away. And, you know, no matter where you are, we'd be glad to work with you. So you can go online at drdelaney.com and look at what we have to offer. We have an online program that's just web-based. We have an online program that I speak with you once a month, and Addie, our registered dietitian, speaks with you once a month, and we do a comprehensive nutrition assessment, and we'll coach and be with you, because it really helps to have somebody in your corner, especially if you're trying to do it alone. And because your glucose comes down so quick, you know, we're backing off of medications, and we can titrate things with blood pressure medications, diabetic medications. So, and you can be a full member of the practice, and we can still do it online. We have people that drive every, you know, for a few hours and comes to see us, but some people we just do over line. So check out the website, because it's really exciting. It's never been more fulfilling for me than to see diabetes go away, especially since I have such a terrible family history of diabetes in my family. And, you know, over the years, I was taught that we could just, you know, we were doing good if we managed the numbers and kept that glucose, you know, right around 100 with medications. Nobody ever talked about being able to get rid of it. So that's, you know, again, the big success stories that we're having. And, you know, in the community that we're developing with the nutrition class, so we're going to have our first potluck for Christmas this week. And people are going to come and bring a dish and share it and their support, because about 6% of the population is plant-based. And, you know, not all those are healthy, and it comes and goes. People are plant-based on and off. So it helps to have a community that of like-minded individuals that you can have support. We share an online Facebook group. So it's been really good to be able to be a part of people's success stories. And not only is, you know, we're having success through nutrition, but we're having success through movement. We have several members that are becoming avid cyclists, you know, cycling 50, 60 miles at a clip. We offer yoga classes, and of course, you know, we're getting some people to start to run. We have somebody signed up for a warrior race in the winter to spring down here, February. I don't know what you call it. It starts to get nice down here, so it's really, really good. You know, personally, I just did a half marathon. We did the Sacramento full marathon. I don't have anything much on the calendar. We're going to start ramping up to do our half and a hole at Asheville in March, and then Mendocino Ultra. I continue the swimming. Might be a swim meet in there at some point. Still have the desire to get that butterfly down. So it's, you know, we just really encourage as a membership, and I'll encourage you to keep moving and to keep mobile. You know, flexibility is key. You know, we want people to keep moving, not only through the holidays, but forever. You know, the more you move, the better you feel. As far as my backyard garden goes, we have pepper plants going, but this tower garden thing is really taking off. We've got cucumber blossoms and little tiny baby cucumbers starting to form, as well as tomato blossoms and kale growing and lettuce growing and eggplant growing on this thing. So it's really exciting to go out every day and check it out. Also have Swiss chard growing and some jicama growing down in the raised beds, as well as you know, my herbs and the sweet potatoes and carrots and some cauliflower growing. So it's always fun to go inspect the garden. You know, we want everybody to get 4 to 5 cups of greens in. And, you know, we're talking about the Dr. Esselstyn dark greens, the kale, Swiss chard, spinach, cauliflower, broccoli, mustard greens, collard greens, you know, the drill, beet greens, beet tops, that help us produce the nitric oxide. And, you know, a lot of people can't figure out, you know, how to get them in. A lady was talking today that she gets full. She can't kind of get everything that she's supposed to get in eating. So start with those greens, because those are the powerhouse. You know, make sure you're getting those in. And you know, what I typically do is, if I'm having a warm up, a leftover, say a soup or a stew that I have left over, I'll start with a bed of greens and just put the raw spinach or the raw whatever on the bottom and go ahead and stack everything else on top and let it steam while I cook. And that's a real easy that, you know, a couple handfuls of spinach goes down to almost nothing when you put it in the microwave and warm things up. And today I actually had a big box of spring mix that I kind of overbought and it was starting to go, not too many days left on it. So I just put a couple handfuls of that on my bean soup and just put it in the microwave. And it's actually really, really tasty just to eat my salad right on top of my bean soup. I was in a little bit of a hurry. Like we talked about earlier, you know, you can throw a couple handfuls of kale and make a muffin. Throw in some spinach into the pasta water, or have your spinach with a pasta. Some people buy the green pasta, which basically, you know, maybe has a little powder on it or food coloring. You know, don't bother with that. Get your greens where you can see them. So throw the greens right into the pasta water and then drain that out. But there's you know, almost nothing that, you know, pasta can't go with. I have some patients that put the pasta down, then put their oatmeal on top. It steams it that way, you know, or you're having a quinoa dish, put the pasta on the bottom. So you know, always, I'm sorry, if you're having a quinoa dish, put the greens on the bottom. So never forget to put the greens, you know, have them involved. It was kind of funny this evening, my mother made dinner and she's like, oh, I was worried that I didn't have any greens, and so I was. But she had made a whole cauliflower. But you know, cauliflower counts. So we had cauliflower and a baked potato and zucchini for a quick dinner this evening. You know, after class. So and you know, we had cabbage soup you know, we had leftovers from a stir fry, so we threw the cabbage and the zucchini and the carrots and the mushroom and made a soup one night. So there's all kinds of ways that you can stick, you know, cabbage into either soup or stir fry or into a dish with beans, cabbage, and use sauerkraut. Sauerkraut's a prebiotic. So really focus, you know, number one, getting the greens in. Now, they don't hold you, you know, so they're not going to provide you with, you know, a lot of calories because they're not calorie dense, they're very nutrient dense. So you need other things with them, but, you know, make sure you get those in first and then, you know, have your potatoes and rice and other vegetables. So, you know, give that a focus. And then again, through this holiday, make sure you have, you know, if you're going to go through a big buffet line, put the greens on the bottom, a giant bed, and stack everything else up on top, and then it kind of wilts and you can get it in. But you know, don't forget, we're going to have a big giant green salad on our table when people come over so that they can load up. And of course, we'll have, you know, the veggie tray with the, you know, the cauliflower and the broccoli on it. And so we'll make sure that we, you know, we have greens in a lot of different places for people to get their greens while they're having a good time. A couple of weeks ago, I had an email and asking me about osteoporosis and should people take a supplement? Should they get a DEXA scan? If you're plant-based, do you need to worry? The first, you know, simple answer is cows don't ever get osteoporosis and eat grass. And cows get their calcium from the grass and the grains that they eat. So we get a tremendous source of calcium when we eat those grains, the dark green leafy vegetables, and you get a lot of calcium from beans. So you don't have to worry about being calcium deficient as far as your intake goes. And the other thing happens is when you decrease your protein intake, when you get rid of the animal protein and you get the protein down to about 10% of your calories, you're not leaching any calcium out of your bone to neutralize your blood. So you're having a lot less bone turnover. And we know that people that are plant-based actually lose less muscle and less bone over their lifespan as they get older than their non-vegan counterparts. And if you have been diagnosed with osteoporosis before you become plant-based, then by all means, you're going to stop things when you become, you know, you're going to start to get better when you're plant-based, and because you're not having this high protein intake. But the other thing is that, you know, you're going to get all the nutrients that you need, and you need to move your body. So we know that weight-bearing exercise helps with, you know, strengthening your bones, strengthening your muscles, and in improving your balance. So, you know, in the office, we look at people's flexibility, their mobility, and we look at their strength and their balance, because as we get older, the way you can fall and break a hip is if you have poor balance, or if you have poor coordination, poor strength, abnormal mobility. So those are things to focus to make sure that you're maintaining your strength and doing weight-bearing exercise, whether it's just walking or a little bit of body weights. So we go over that with people. But, you know, even just wall squats, chair squats, lunges, some push-ups can go a long way to help build muscle mass and bone mass. And I'll challenge anybody. I'm still doing my push-ups. And I think it's a great exercise. And, I continue to do them. I do them every morning. I do my 75. I'm up to 75 a day. And I continue to do them. And I've seen great results as far as my core, my arm strength. So I don't go down the rabbit hole of doing these testing. You know, why do all this testing if we're not going to do anything about it? Why go to an internist that's going to say we're going to do a DEXA scan and the only thing they're going to offer you is a pill? And the pill has a bunch of side effects. You know, the pills can cause bone cancer. The pills can cause esophageal erosion. They can cause all kinds of indigestion. And just because you have an abnormal DEXA scan, if you're not a fall risk, that's not, you know, a reason to take a pill. It's a reason to say, you know, okay, what do I need to do different? And again, the usually is get the meat out of your diet and get the movement in and get the greens in and get the beans in. So I see no reason for the DEXA scan. I think it's a moneymaker. And I see no worry for people in plant-based nutrition to worry about their bone density. I think we need to be proactive and to be focused on health, not waiting till something bad happens to prevent, again, spinal and compression fractures. You need to have good back strengths, planks, opposites, the push-ups, swimming, as far as, you know, your upper body strength. So there's all kinds of things you can do to maintain your back strength and your mobility with, you know, yoga and Pilates and different stretching things. So, taking a pill and getting a DEXA scan is not going to prevent you from getting osteoporosis. So I hope that helps, for the listener that sent the question. And I really do appreciate any emails that you have asking me questions. Because I think it's, you know, they are very much important concerns. You know, the part of the wellness exams on these standard electronic medical records, you know, doctor checkoff things, you know, did you get a flu shot? Did you get a mammogram? Did you, you know, do you get a DEXA scan? Those are one thing to check with the disease. But let's spend some time focusing on preventing. And turn the ball around. It started out in medicine where, you know, people only went to the doctor if something bad was wrong. You know, they cut themselves or they had terrible pain or something bad. They broke a bone. Or had a terrible infection and fevers that wouldn't go away. Then people went to the doctor. They only went to the doctor if something was wrong. Similarly, when insurance, you know, came into play and people started getting health insurance, then we started, well, you know, we're going to help people keep healthy by doing regular checkups. So people could go for a yearly physical exam. And I can remember growing up, my dad, he was always overweight through most of, my growing up. And he would go and get a physical after a while, you know, when they got health insurance and the doctor would tell him he needed to lose weight. Well, my dad's, he would just change doctors. And so he would get a new doctor, you know, hoping, I guess, he'd get a different answer, which is better than just asking the same doctor for the different answer. But he would change doctors every year. That was his way of dealing with it until he got diabetes. Then he changed. But, so the yearly physical exam really doesn't do a whole lot, especially if somebody's otherwise healthy. And so people started doing these yearly physical exams, and it might catch something here and there, you know, but for the most part, not, you know, if someone's growing up, they develop a murmur, or they had an infection following up on it, I guess there's things that you could find. But most of the things weren't ever addressed. You know, cancer prevention was never addressed other than to do a mammogram, you know, and a colonoscopy. And, you know, certainly those may have their purpose. Colonoscopies, certainly after people are in meat eaters after a certain age. But after age 50, actually. But, you know, people started just going to a doctor, you know, then, you know, for their annual physical exam, then start going quarterly. And it was just a matter of titrating medications because we had the development of more and more medications. So people had to go to get these medications titrated or more medicines added on. And so we would treat symptoms when people came to the doctor, but nobody ever tried to change the symptoms or get rid of the illness in and of itself. And, you know, it's time that we kind of change medicine. We need to go back to taking time to prevent things, and helping people focus on, you know, let's not have an illness, and not spend, just going to the doctor so that we can just pick up things, but let's focus and work with people so that they maintain health. And so it's my belief that physicians should be health maintainers. And, you know, things do happen, you know, you pull a muscle or you slip and fall, you know, and sometimes you do need a physician to fix something that's broken, but the majority should be really aimed at maintaining health. So my takeaways for the day is don't eat dairy. We don't need to consume the growth fluid of another animal. So get your almond milk, your cashew milk, your hemp milk, but not your dairy. There's plenty of alternatives. Move your body so that you can prevent osteoporosis. You get plenty of calcium from greens and beans. Prepare yourself for the holidays by continuing to exercise to keep your mental health good, and make sure you're getting your greens when you're going out to parties so that you're starting with the greens and then adding other things to your plate. And just say no to the bad things. It's not going to help you. It's going to make things worse. Take a covered dish. Enjoy yourself. Make a colorful table if you're having people over. Not to worry. You don't need to poison people with ham, turkey, and meat. You can make a wonderful Christmas spread or a party spread without the presence of animal products. And be kind and pay it forward, because hopefully somebody's helped you along the way to achieve health, achieve happiness, or been there to support you. So in this holiday time, Let's all concentrate on the good, and peace to everybody. And I wish you a happy holiday season for the rest. I'll probably talk to you before the year's up. Maybe we'll do end of the year summary. But if I don't have a podcast before Christmas, Merry Christmas. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your friends. And I wish you the most health and happiness in the upcoming new year. Oh, and don't forget, if you need some last minute gift, we're having our third annual plant-based nutrition conference in March 24th. So you can get your tickets now. They're on eventbrite.com. It's the third annual Charlotte County annual plant-based nutrition conference. And Dr. Campbell will be down. Timmy Hagenberger will be down. Addie Delaney Meinrich will be down. And myself, we'll have a breakfast and lunch that's wonderful, plant-based, whole foods, cooking demonstration. The day before, if you'd like to come down early, we're doing private consultations with myself, Tim Marie, and Addie, so you can get online and schedule those as the space is available. We're also having two yoga classes the day before, so come in to Florida, enjoy our sunny weather, and make a weekend out of it. So I'll talk to you soon.